The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Okay, it's time for What to Watch, where we bring all the recommendations of what to watch on the big screen and a small. We're joined in studio by entertainment journalists Serena Bellissimo and John Fardy, presenter, of course, of Screen Time. Guys, let's start with the highly anticipated Kylie Minogue doc.
Thanks for starting with that one, because I have to say, I'm saying it from the start, I am a Kylie fan, so I'm going to be biased. This is nothing we haven't seen before, so it's what Netflix does. They bring in the main subject and they go through their lives, right? So we're seeing that with Kylie. She's been in the business since 1986, and it basically goes from 86 to today. You see the highs, you see the lows. Michael Hart, who's an Irish guy from Donegal.
His brother used to work in this parish, Lachlan Hart. His
no way.
Uncle used to be the managing editor,
Garrett.
A man called Gareth Hart.
Sorry, that's Lachlan's brother.
Yeah.
Sorry, who's Michael Hart?
He's a great film director and editor.
He's making this.
Yeah, so he directed and edited this. Have you seen Michael J. Fox's documentary on Apple?
Still.
Yeah.
That was him too?
It is incredible. He edited that, and that is one of my favourites. So he's done a really good job in this. It covers a lot of Kylie's career, some of her personal life, and it also touches on her cancer diagnosis.
Yeah.
And then she opens up a bit more about, I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it, but she does open up a bit more about other things in her life. And I have to say, the first two episodes, do you agree, John? You're watching it going, oh, you're so guarded. You need to let down that guard.
The third one is incredible.
Yeah.
I thought this was
amazing, brilliant.
I really did, because she, whether you can't stand her music or you think she's an icon.
Can't stand her music?
No, I'm just, there are some people out there, not me, of course. I should be, I'm down with it. Don't worry. But I thought it was such a brilliant, like, it's such a storied life. And when Nick Cave comes into it, oh, it's absolutely hilarious. So you have this, in essence, heroin addict who's like loads of credo but has no success, and he's going to do a duet with this little pop princess, and he's so funny about it, and her romance with Michael Hutchinson, it's heartbreaking. I thought this was brilliant. I couldn't get over it. And the last episode, I was in tears at times,
because she let her guard down, I think, by the last
can I ask one I'm not particularly into music, but that's fine. She's some bangers of songs. What I have found about her in the past is she's not the most exciting interviewee. Like, does this bring out, like, I've seen her on Jonathan Ross, I've seen her on the Friday night with Graham Norton, and I just always find her a bit boring. Does this bring out a different side to her?
It does, and I think it's because of Michael that this side has come out, because he has asked the question, and then when she sort of just goes, no, I'm closing down, he'll ask a follow-up question to try and make her feel comfortable. There are a couple of times in episodes one and two where she's like, not going there, I don't want to go there. But by episode three, he's gained her trust so fully that she is opening up on stuff that you're going, wow. And she says, I've never spoken about this before.
What I was about to ask, you genuinely cried?
Yeah, in season three, because when she talks about her cancer diagnosis, I had no idea just how ravaged she was by it. And
didn't it come back?
And we didn't know about the one in 2021.
Yeah. It was a real heartfelt revelation at the end. But there's pictures of her walking the streets of Paris in a headscarf when she's broken. But there's a lot of humour in it. There's a lot of madness about, like, the late 80s and 90s were a different time. Like, the rampant sexism she put up with in some
budgie.
Of those interviews. The singing budgie. Pete Waterman. What a jackass. Like, in this, he sits down and they left it in going, I have to be gone at 3 o'clock, so let's, just a tosser. Can we say that at 6:30 on the evening? I guess
they always came across even then, Stock Aitken and Waterman as tossers. And you remember The Hitman and Her? I mean, the misogyny was inbuilt.
Yeah. And like, he was basically saying to her, listen, don't worry about any of that proper music stuff. This is what's selling by the truckload. Just sing this. And she wouldn't even know what the songs were, and she'd suddenly be standing on the mic. But it's brilliantly told, I think.
Okay, I want to watch it now. I really do.
There's great archival footage that we've never seen, like stuff with her and Michael Hutchins, stuff with her and Jason Donovan, like home video footage.
The Jason Donovan thing, sorry. I always thought he was a lovely dude. He's complicated in this. He's clearly not over her or something. I don't know.
He is complicated though anyway, isn't he, in that he had his own battles with all sorts of addictions and various things. But they haven't made... Was there a bit of a rivalry between them as much as there was a kind of a romance-y sort of schmancy thing?
That's what entered there. They say it was Michael Hutchins, but it was also, I think, and he says it, I was jealous of her success.
Yeah, so, you kind of get that vibe.
He can't help but he's always going to be linked to Kylie. Like, people will say to him, how's Kylie? And he's like, I don't know. he's
ask
more
her.
Than just
Scott and Charlene. That's but what did that. Yeah.
What I will say about this, and again, massive fan here talking, but Michael, what Michael Hart has managed to do is he's managed to show us the icon that Kylie is, and by the very end, you get to see the human. And okay. not a lot of people can do that.
I'm completely sold. The Mandalorian, Serena?
The Mandalorian. Can you tell us what it's all about? Because
this is
know.
A job for... No. So The Mandalorian...
And Grogu.
So I got to be very careful because I was the first movie I ever saw was Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back when I was 4 or 5. So I'm a massive Star Wars fan.
Me too.
So I know you are. You love Star Wars,
are
don't you?
Really?
So yeah. To my mind, so The Mandalorian was a TV show that came out in 2019, I think it was. And to my mind, it's the best thing, the TV show, since The Return of the Jedi. Forget all the prequels, which were terrible. Some of the later ones were okay, but I loved The Mandalorian TV show, which is about this bounty hunter who can't take off his mask and he befriends what's euphemistically referred to as baby Grogu. So there was this movie mentioned in the works for a long time. And what's happened is they've kind of, you could say, turned a couple of TV episodes into a movie. Now, I don't think that's as bad as it sounds. So The Mandalorian basically has to go and rescue Jabba the Hutt's son.
Very good. But can I ask you, because I'm a fan, John's a fan, Serena, you're obviously less of a fan, I would imagine. For the non-die-hard kind of Star Wars fans, do you get The Mandalorian?
No, I don't. I don't understand why. Like, it's not terrible, but...
Damning with faint praise.
I think it probably should have been a TV series. It didn't feel like it had enough to sustain 2 hours and 10 minutes. I was watching it going, okay, well, that's where episode one could have ended. That episode could have all been about Grogu. This probably could have been 5 episodes long, and I think it would have served it better.
All right.
But
has there been a good Star Wars since The Empire Strikes Back?
What about Return of the Jedi? Oh,
I thought it was... I when I was a kid, I liked it, but I watched it back not that long ago, and I don't think it stands up to much scrutiny.
You're upset, and you're upsetting me. I love the Return of the Jedi. I think The Force Awakens was pretty good. I think one or two of the freestanding ones, the Solo story is pretty good. Rogue One was a great one. I think as well, though, we're of a similar vintage. There's something about the magic of movies when you're a kid that, you know, you fall in love with Star Wars. It was going to be very hard to ever reproduce
true.
That.
Very so true.
I don't think it's this unmitigated
The prequels
disaster.
Didn't help.
They were terrible.
Because
they were absolutely
They were
terrible.
Just pants, yeah, weren't they? They
absolutely.
As someone who wanted so much from them,
yes,
they were deeply disappointing.
They were. So I agree with that. I think some of the other ones have been okay. I think some of the TV shows have been good. Andor is... not even Star Wars. It's this kind of crime drama set in space that has a brothel in it. So there's all sorts of things going on. But back to The Mandalorian. So we have him rescuing Jabba the Hutt's son. He's now working for the New Republic. And then it kind of dovetails into this strange thing where Grogu, the Baby Yoda character, has to kind of rescue him without giving much away. Now, as Serena said, some people are claiming this is just 5 episodes stuck together. To me... 2 hours, 10 minutes in the cinema. It was okay. It wasn't bad. It starts with, you remember the AT-AT walkers?
Yeah.
It starts with a very dramatic AT-AT walking scene, which held my attention for 20 minutes. I was fine with it. I would give
That's a long opening.
It's good though. It's a
is
good
this,
opening.
Yeah.
I think it might be the best part of the movie.
Would be kind of iconic sort of quintessential character type things from Star Wars that people would be like, oh, the AT-ATs are back.
Yeah, exactly. Now, some of the criticisms of it are there are no Star Wars Easter eggs in it. There's no reference to like Darth Vader or future emperors or Obi-Wan Kenobi or anything
but
like
they've
that.
They've done all that, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. So,
but it's still that world.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, how many times can you... I think they're right not to do that because that's too easy, isn't it?
But you see, that might point to a deeper point. Is it time to wrap this all up? Because as much as I love Star Wars, I wasn't dying to see this.
I feel the spin-offs have somehow diluted and cheapened it all a little bit in a way that I nearly wish they left it alone.
Yeah. And
here's the question, are they still making money from them?
Oh God, are you joking?
So,
of course.
I mean, they're going to keep going then,
exactly.
Aren't they?
Now, they're making less money than they were, and it's going to be really interesting to see how this opens tomorrow because there is notions of peak Star Wars haven't been reached and the world has moved on. However, Disney paid a hat full of cash for the rights of this. So the plundering of the universe will continue in new
and there's all
and
the Lego offsprings and there's all
ways.
The Disney offsprings and the merch and the rides and there's all that kind of stuff too. Maybe finally, John, what else have you got for us?
So The Crash is an interesting documentary on Netflix. This lady called Mackenzie Shirilla was in a car crash in the late 2010s, or sorry, what's the next decade called?
The teenies. I don't know if that's what they're
called. Let's go with that. She's in a car crash with two friends. She survives having crashed her car in Ohio into a wall. The two friends die. This seems like a tragedy. Without giving a spoiler, it may not have been. It may have been a murder. So this is a 1.5 hour documentary movie on Netflix that I think as the time of talking
to
before
came in. And this is based in truth and reality.
It's a documentary. Okay. And it's at number one currently in the movies in Ireland. So it's kind of gripping. I had a real couple of moments of, should I be watching this? There's real voyeurism.
As you describe it, I'm thinking this.
But particularly there are scenes in it where some of the occupants' parents are told, and we see this on screen, for the first time, or allegedly the first time, in real time, they're being told about the death of their son. And it's really hard to stomach. Now, I got through it.
How could that happen in real time if this is retrospective?
No, it's documentary footage. They had body cams seemingly showing this. So they have, I think it's, they have video of one of the fathers hearing the news that the son...
From cop video?
Yeah, I think it's body cam, but you see this and it's horrific.
That does sound... really voyeuristic. Yeah.
So there are moments like that. Now, I watched the whole of it for the purposes of this. And I mean, it does grip you. But again, are we reaching, you know, peak true crime? At moments like this, you just think, I'm seeing too much here. And even the accident itself.
What's being put out there for our entertainment / delectation is increasingly concerning.
Absolutely.
By the way, John, we had... Sharon Shannon on with us earlier the week. And I know you've seen the documentary Tradfluencer.
It was brilliant. And like, people adore her. Like, she'd kind of been slightly outside of my remit for various reasons, but nothing personal or anything. I just never got around to it.
Yeah.
But she's so beloved in music circles. Yeah. And it was a great watch.
And it was like they've filmed her over a long period of time.
A lot of work had gone into that.
So does that work in terms of getting a real insight into her?
Absolutely. You know, I'm not to compare it to the Kylie documentary. It's a very different thing. But you could see the labour in it and it really paid off, you know?
Okay. Yeah. All right.
By the way, what I'm bet into all week is Rivals. I can't get enough of it. It's like hooked to my veins. You had some of the cast.
I had Victoria Smurfit on and also the writer of it. And what I loved about it is I thought, even with the first season, this is going to be crap. This is all English people. Wow. Let's go home and spank each other, jolly ha ha. And it's beguiling drama. Brilliantly
acted. I haven't seen a single negative review.
Yeah,
I saw
terrific.
It was in one of the British papers, I think it was The Guardian, about 2 weeks ago, gave it 10,000 out of 10.
Wow, a very Guardian-esque.
And anyone I have seen anywhere on social media or in print has literally raved about it. It is one of the most enjoyable pieces of television I've ever seen.
It's absolutely terrific. And I, from what I thought it was going to be to what it actually is. And the cast are brilliant.
Of course, a new episode dropping tomorrow.
Yes, indeed.
Very exciting.
And thankfully we're out of time. We don't have to mention the Liverpool documentary about winning the Champions League all those years ago.
Any good?
I'm an Everton fan. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Thank you very much to both Serena and to John. We shall chat to you again very soon.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.